You have, I hope you have the page that we started last week from this Perush on the Maimer Hadar. This page, we did a little bit of it. I want to do some Chazar, just for a minute. You have the on the two sides, one where it's 118, 119. Right? 118, 119. Just a little bit Chazar at the bottom of 118. A little bit of Chazar. Yeah. On the Pisgah, on the words of Rav Kook, Nirachem al Eilah Umlalim, that the time has come to stop with the chaos, with the anger, with the disappointment, with the fighting, and instead Nirachem al Eilah Umlalim, Tevrachmanis, on our children, on our brothers and our sisters who are drowning in Saras and Gashmis and Saras and Ruchnias, and who are seeking the truth and who are not getting answers. So this in this section of the Maimer, Rav Kook is teaching how we have to use Sifrut. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. We have to use literature. In our generation, we know that that's not particularly effective or popular. So we'll talk about that. We'll see that in a few minutes. But we have to reach into the hearts and into the minds of the generation by using the very same methods that tore them away from Shmiras HaMitzvos, that tore them away from Yiddishkeit. But he adds an interesting thing, and that's what we're going to talk about now for a few minutes. He adds that we have to reach out to the generation with dvarim nichumim, with words of consolement, chizuk and nechama, mileyim seichel, that must be filled with seichel, sophisticated concepts, ideas. The generation is seeking that. They're not going to be satisfied anymore with just the same old traditional approach to learning. We have to reveal to them the deeper secrets of Torah, the beauty of Torah, concepts, ideas, and so on. Mileyim seichel mefikim sheket v'omatz. That's interesting. Mileyim mefikim, rather sheket of omets, that give them, that bring out feelings of sheket, of tranquility, and omets, strength and courage. Now, even though, of course, Lashon, we already know for years and years, is very, very hard and very flowery, he's very medactic in what he says. So, Mao HaSheket, let's just review for a minute. We started at the end 2 weeks ago. Let's just review. It's hard. So the Lashon here is very modern Hebrew. So, I'll try to help with that for those who are not used to it. So on the bottom of 118, Mao HaSheket Akaruch Ba'omets. What is this combination of tranquility and strength? Omets is strength and courage. That the generation is longing for sheket and omets. Sheket, mashmo menuchas hanefesh v'haruach, menhazaf hapnim. So the Malbim defines sheket. Again, we did this 2 weeks ago, just to review. The Malbim defines sheket as a state of menuchas hanefesh v'haruach, menhazaf hapnim, from the turbulence that's inside of a person. There are other words in Lashon HaKodesh that describe peace and quiet from the enemies outside. But we have a lot of turbulence inside. There's turbulence inside. So sheket mashmo menuchas hanefesh v'haruach menhazaf hapnimi. Menhazaf hapnimi. The Malbim shows that sheket is to be able to have menuchas hanefesh from that turbulence, that storm that's raging inside. Klemer shalva pnimis. Shalva pnimis, inner tranquility, Kasher koiches nefesh zorma b'soicha k'machlol echad. Now, when does a person have this feeling of menuchas nefesh, sheket inside? When does a person have that? Kasher koiches nefesh zorma b'soicha k'machlol echad. When all of the koiches nefesh are working together. The pasuk says, "Ein shalom b'nafshi." Rabbi Nachman has a whole Torah on that. "Ein shalom b'nafshi." There's no peace inside of me. The tzaddikim talk about how inside each and every person there's a war going on, like the shivim ha'umayis, like the 70 nations are at war. There's a part of a person that's a Kanani, there's another part that's a Chiti, a Chivi, you'll see. And the inside of a person, there's so many conflicting things pulling him in different directions, and that makes it impossible to be in a state of menuchas nefesh. Ein shalom b'nafshi. There's no peace inside of me. When the koiches nefesh are at war with each other, when the person is missing this zrimativis, a natural healthy flow of all the koiches nefesh, where the person is confident in what he's doing and who he is and has a sense of what his life is about, and all the koiches nefesh work together towards that objective, towards that goal, then it's possible to have menuchas nefesh when everything is working kimechlol echad. Like one mechlol. Mechlol is like the word mechlala. Mechlol. Everything together. Klal. And yeshna tchushas harmonia nederes misafim ulechotzim. Then it's possible to have a feeling of harmony without all of the metach. Metach means the tension and the lachetz and the pressure. Lumazais. On the other hand, when a person is not able to give full expression to the koiches achayim that are inside of him, when there are koiches A that are conflicting, and B, when there are things that are raging inside of him that he can't give expression to. For whatever reason, psychologically, religiously, he can't give full expression to the Kerech HaZachayim, then what happens is, then that gives birth to certain obstructions, emotional obstructions, that bring to a lack of sheket, ula'atz bonus, and anxiety. Our generation, I guess when this generation will be studied in retrospect in the future, I think that it will be called the anxious generation. Almost, I wouldn't say everybody, a significant amount of the people that I am speaking to are struggling with anxiety. Whether it's clinical anxiety, whether it's full-blown anxiety, that they can't function without medication. All I can tell you is that the people who are in that medicine stuff, they're making a very big panacea. Whoever's selling that stuff is making a lot of money. Whatever, all the different meaning of these medications, with the atzbonus, the unbelievable anxiousness, the anxiety, the feeling of unrest. Chayse sheket and atzbonus. Kasher chash ha'adam ki eino yochel lios mashehu. This is all that we've been learning and all we talk about, all this from HaKadoshim are focused on. When a person feels that he can't be mashehu, who he is. Ki eino yochel lios mashehu. And he's forced to conduct his life according to tachtivim chitzayim, a script that was written by somebody else. Somebody else's script. I remember years ago when I was starting with a discovery in Eshet Torah, all those things many years ago, and And some of the chaver from there, they wanted me to speak, and they gave me the material that I should, like a script, to use this, their material to speak. And I'm not an actor, and I don't read scripts. If it's something that I don't feel that is coming from within myself, then it would be a terrible waste of time, and it wouldn't be good for the people. It's not. And I'm sure that you've all felt this, and you've been in this. Obviously, someone who has to speak before a tzibur. If it's not yourself, if it's not who you are, so then, and you're reading a script that somebody else wrote. I mean, the boys that go on dates like that. The boys that go on dates like that. You know, they get prepped. You know, mom has a whole talk with them, and they write some on their procum, and they keep a little thing when the girl goes to fix herself up a little bit. He takes a little bit of a peek. Do this. Say, Ma, you look nice tonight. Something like that, and don't forget to open the door. Don't forget to say you had a nice time. You know, it doesn't go. It's not zorein. Zorein means doesn't flow. Lefi mashehu, lefi mishehu. So what happens is the person is forced linhog al pitachtivim chitzayim, and that's how many people feel about their Yiddishkeit. They're feeling that this is a script that God wrote, or some rabbis wrote this script. No, I don't feel connected to this at all. And in the past, because the entire culture was different, which we already spoke a lot about, that people just went along with the script, just kept on reading from the script, and we see that's how davening is. Davening is reading from the script, and then when you do the Yushpiz and then the Sukkah, somebody quiet, we forgot to do the Yushpiz and quiet for a second. We have to read the script, but it's not the Avraham Avinu inside of me. It's not welcoming and bringing forth the Yitzchak Avinu inside of me. I'm not Mishkan Avraham Avinu. I'm not Yitzchak Avinu. I'm not Yaakov. I'm not Moshe. I'm Yosef. I'm not Yosef Vidavid. I'm not these people. So I'm just reading the Yushpiz. I'm just saying the Yushpiz. And if everybody will just be quiet for a minute, so we can get this over with and eat, just to read the Yushpiz. Comes to Zmiris, so Zmiris on Shabbos. V'chayv this is Zmiris, because there's a thing that Jews say Zmiris, sing Zmiris at the Shabbos table, say Zmiris, whatever it is. The Jews have Zmiris. So we have a minimum of one Zemer or two Zmiris that we should say. There's an old family favorite, you know, Yom Zemechubit or something. And we do the Yom Zemechubit thing every Shabbos, and we're just reading from the script. But it's not the Fima Shahu. A person by nature, feels uneasy reading the script written by somebody else. You can begin to feel anxious and uncomfortable that you're not being sincere. It's not real. It's not your own. And not only that, the script is holding back something from my own natural, from my natural self. It's not a live performance. It was something that was written. You know, like when they teach speech in high school. So my daughter came back and she read to me all the rules that were in the speech class. You should breathe a certain way and look at the clock. You know, all these different things, like where to look and how to. So she said to me that I don't think I ever saw you looking at the clock and breathing. I don't know, do you breathe that way when you? Because you've been doing this for a long time. I said, no, I breathe, but not the way she says, not the way the teacher wrote over there. The clock, I look at the watch and I'm wondering what time it is, but I don't have like a thing to focus on the clock and to, I don't know, there are like 10 different things about if you want to speak. So I said, I don't know, I don't have these, I never learned these rules, I never took any speech class, and I don't follow the rules, I just try to talk to my friends, right? I try to talk to them the way that I talk to you, and I try to talk to people. And And when a person feels that he's reading somebody else's script, it becomes awkward. It becomes awkward, and he's not able to say what's on his mind and what's in his heart. That holding back a chelik of one's kaiches causes tremendous, tremendous anxiety and unrest. Tremendous, tremendous. Of course, that doesn't mean chas v'shalom that a person is supposed to let loose whatever he has on his mind and his heart. Chas v'shalom. There's an avoid of ipuk and yeshamay and shemiyus adibur and so on.
Ipuk?
This apek, to hold back. To hold back. Of course, there's an avoid. It doesn't mean to say whatever's on your mind. But a life of these tachtivim chitzenim ma'akim chelim chichosav garem hadavol chayser regia, because a lack of calm regia, to be calm, ula metach nafshi, and it causes spiritual emotional metach tension. So whoever here has raised teenagers, again they have the different teva. But you have teenagers that they're screaming and yelling. You don't know what they're upset about. And teenagers like going nuts, and they're yelling at their parents, and the parents like are looking to see if they're talking to them. They don't know what they're talking about. The kid's talking about something. He's yelling. He's upset in it. And he's like about the parent is like, you did this to me. You did that to me. And they don't know what he's talking about. I have no idea what he's talking about. Now you have people that this time, oblivious to the Mitzvahs, but no, good, intelligent people that only gave and give and give and give and love and give and more and live, and the kids screaming and yelling and going crazy. And what's upsetting you? What's upsetting you? You can have a kid and he'll tell you that when you're in therapy together with this kid, years later, So they're trying to like what was that? So he'll say like something like, I wanted to buy a set of drums and you didn't let me have them. So you say like, so for that we had to have 8 years of Ganem? Mm-hmm. I would give you this. The drums are ready for 8 years of Ganem. It's not the Indian that they didn't get the set of drums. It's not. I'm saying that because that's something that has happened. not with me personally, but there's in our film it was a guitar, but they don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. The kids, they don't understand what's inside. They feel so angry and nervous. Angry and nervous from what? Life is good. What's wrong? But then you give a speech to the kids, say, you should know this is the best years of your life. And then they go out of their minds. Best years of my life. And the best years of my life. I'm suffering, I'm miserable, I'm this, I'm that. And what kind of people are you? And what kind of this? My Rebbe and the yeshivas and all that. It's anger. Where's the anger? From where's such an anger? And I don't remember this years ago, such a thing. Maybe there were some people like that. There wasn't such an anger and kindness and things like that. People, the kids have. I mean, teenagers are always an issue. But and they themselves don't know what they're angry about. So they'll say, because of this, because of that. If I'd been a different yeshiva, if I'd been a different school, if I'd have different parents and whatever, then I would be happy. This. There are kaiches hanefesh that are at war inside of them, especially when it comes to yom of kedusha that a boy has to struggle with much more than a girl, and it has oftentimes nothing to do with the parents, nothing to do with the rabbi, nothing to do with the yeshiva. Of course, many times it does, and that's mixed into it. That makes it more complicated. But there's just no sheket inside. They're not able to feel a sense of inner tranquility. There are karchis. They don't know what to do with these karchis. There are ritzinus. There are desires. They don't know what to do with them. The script that they're reading, all they see is one word. It's on the front page of the script. It says, Hakol Aser. Everything is forbidden. That's the name of the script that the boys feel that's handed them when they come to school. The first orientation. I was talking to somebody, one of the Bachar in Yeshiva, discussing this. He asked me that when Nuzman began with Rav Soloveitchik, what was it like? Like, what was orientation like? So he asked me, what was the first day of Shia like? So now we have to have like 3 days, right? It's like orientation. I said, orientation was that he came in, everybody was shaking, everybody was passing out, and he said, you, read. That was orientation. And if you didn't read something right, he said, you're not Amaratz. I have no patience for Amaratz. He said, why do they give me Amaratz over here? That was orientation. Yeah, that was orientation. Amaratz. And you know what? I don't think we were damaged by it. If you do that now, they have to have like 3 buses to go to a therapist all over. That was orientation. Now you have to have a whole thing. Even with the little kids, they give them like it's like a week until they're able to go to a regular day of school, so all the parents can't work that week. This is thing that they have to break them in slowly. And give them a thing. It's a little kid. What is this? What's going on? Somehow to try to alleviate the tension and the fear and the anxiety. When I had to go to yeshiva. I remember first grade when I had to go to yeshiva, and I didn't want to leave the house. I didn't want to go to school. And I was giving my mother some trouble. But I'm not going to yeshiva. So my mother was having a hard time with me. This is a long time ago. And she sent me. She says, "Ah, that's all right. It's enough already. Go talk to daddy." So I went to my father, and he said, "I don't want to go to yeshiva." So my father said, "Why don't you want to go? You're going. Why don't you want to go?" I said, I don't know anybody there. I don't want to go to yeshiva. I don't want to go to yeshiva." So my father said something, I don't know, in Yiddish. And he said, "Everybody's Jewish there. Just you're going to yeshiva. They're all Jews. What do you mean you don't know anybody there? Everybody's Jews. What do you know? So I'm sending out the Jewish place." And that was the end of it. That was my orientation. That was the orientation. They're all Jews. What are you saying? You're making me crazy with this. Not going to yeshiva, going to yeshiva. So now everything is with this chosirigia or metach navshi, the turmoil, the turbulence, the fear, the anxiety, the anger that kids have, that and it's getting it from a younger and younger age, the kaz, it's unbelievable. Kaninsa af esazika yeshira ben hasheket va'omet. So he explains. Well, Rav Kook puts together Sheket and Ometz. Sheket and Ometz. And Ometz, a certain confidence, courage and confidence. Habitokon ha'atzmi. From where does a person draw self-confidence? There's also, everything now is about building up self-esteem. Self-esteem, nobody has any confidence, right? It's everything is self-esteem. Self-esteem, he doesn't feel good about himself, doesn't have confidence. Habitokon ha'atzmi magia, from where does a person draw? Bitokon ha'atzmi, self-confidence, self-esteem, whatever you want to. From where does a person take that? Magia bad v'bad im tchushas mitzu ha'kochos v'ha'autonomia ha'ishiyutis. That comes from a feeling that I am using my own koiches and a feeling of personal autonomy. That I am free to be myself. I'm able to be myself. In the old days, Nahag ha'amoin ha'rochav v'hachnoa klapi musa dati chitzani. In the old days doesn't mean 1,000 years ago. It means really 20, 30 years ago. Nahag ha'amoin ha'rochav the way of the general way of people was that they behaved in a way of hachna, of humility. Klape musa dati chitzani, vis-a-vis the religious hierarchy, the religious institutions that they lived with, that they went to. And these institutions, families and on, did not give the individuals, the children, the young adults, the ability to really to draw out, to use their kishrenes, their talents, and the karchas and nefesh b'miluam fully. And because of that, in many instances, Yiddishkeit became just a fossilized life of rituals. Dati nuksha asher dochak mitochol karchas chaim, that crushed the karchas chaim, that suppressed the karchas chaim. Kegon bikurtius sichlis, that discouraged the use of intellectual, being intellectually honest and being inquisitive and trying to understand, discouraged that.
Except within a certain framework.
It had to be in a very, very clear, particular framework. In other words, you certainly could ask Taisvis and the Kiveger, and you could ask and the Gemara, and you could ask within the Mesgeris of the Dalai Lama's. But if you, God forbid, asked something that was that appeared to be challenging the Dalai Lama's, challenging that world, not only were you discouraged, you were disdained, and so many times these people just went away. Most of the time they didn't. They just stopped asking. But so the karchas chaim were being suppressed. Gvura, a certain gvura that comes with confidence, a strength that comes with confidence of being in feeling that you're in your world. Regish his davus, it crushed a feeling of identification. You weren't identifying with what you were learning. You were just repeating what you were learning. And you were doing what you were told, but you didn't identify with that. The chevra that developed over the years in this way, in this type of a life, began to live a way of Torah that was filled with choser regia, atzbanus v'choser zrima, again an anxiousness and a choser zrima, a feeling that things are not going naturally, they're not flowing. I hanochas hisbata b'tchushos lachas b'akpod hilchoses, an inability to express oneself because of the pressure that was felt as a result of the hakpadas of halacha, the demands that halacha makes, the expectations of halacha, which of course we have to live by, but a feeling of complete disconnect from what is it that halacha demands of me, what is it that halacha expects of me, and all the hakpadas that halacha has, right? The book, the script that says hakol aser, everything is aser. That's the feeling that the kids have. Everything is aser. And of course, they're also filled with a heavy dosage of Musar, the old style of Musar, which was, for the most part, employing techniques of intimidation and fear. Pacha, fear. This is what's going to happen to you if you don't. This is what's going to be if you don't. Hadaras halalo, choshem ritiya mikol eilo. The generation that we're living in, not just now, this already was beginning at that time, at the time, already before Rav Kook, the after the Baal Shem HaKadosh and the Gron. At that time, this was beginning. But there's a feeling of Ritiyah Mikol Ha'ilayim. Ritiyah means recoiling, to recoil. Mikol Ha'ilayim. Kayom, especially nowadays, Yeshna Drisha L'mishna Ruchanis, Asher Me'ever L'tachneha. There's a demand nowadays for a Mishna Ruchanis, for a spiritual program, a Mishna Ruchanis, Asher Me'ever L'tachneha, the beyond the curriculum and the contents, Hakol L'musa Chavrati, Seichel, Musa Chavrati, ethics, and Seichel, intellectual, Erchius, things of, again, moral values and so on. Ometz u'gvuras chayim, confidence and gvuras chayim. Teshader af harmonia ishiyutis v'shalva, and this is how a person is going to be able to achieve a feeling of harmony and personal peace and tranquility. Beis ksivas maimer hador. At the time that Rav Kook wrote this maimer hador, hishtak for bakoshes hashalva. At the time that the Maimer Hador was written, this longing for strength, confidence, a feeling of inner tranquility and peace, Gvur Zechayim, and so on, was manifested in the young generation, in the young people of the generation, as a slida, a disgust, again, like a recoiling, a pushing away, a rejection of the Tipus HaGaluti, of what they saw as the Golus type of a Jew. The Golus Jew. The Golus Jew. Shednid melahem kichoser bitachon b'chayev. What they saw, what they grew up with, was a lack of security in life. And a lack of trust in oneself. The way that they lived, the way the Jews lived in Golus. And which gave over to the Golus Jew, and the impression that these people had growing up was of always being nervous, a feeling of tension regarding the panasa, the dependence that we had on the on goyim who despised us, the possibility any moment of your life being turned over because of a pogrom, because of whatever other tsaros there were. So people didn't have faith in their lives. And the message was, don't say that. Don't speak what's on your mind. We have to conduct ourselves a certain way. We have to hide, we have to be hidden, we have to present in a certain way, which creates a tremendous feeling of tension. Baharocha chavratis lekor haruach ubahalo alneis esicholos hashlita atzmus. All they were taught was that as far as the general society and culture is concerned, we have to reject that completely. We have to turn completely away from society, and we have to have complete and total control over our own desires, of our own interests, not to be drawn into the veld, into the world, into the alien culture was threatening to destroy us. We can't be drawn into that. We have to keep separate, and we have to keep apart, and we can't be influenced in any way. We can't have any shaykhis to that. Yameinu noisaf al kol eila. In our days, in addition to all of this, gamboiz instinctivi, klape islamus. There's a natural disdain for anything that's artificial in our days. Anything that's not real. Anything that's artificial. Anything that's fake. Even the food's supposed to be like all natural ingredients, which of course is mostly not true. But Niyamas medes achatsuas chaim tivios v'harmonios. There's a tremendous, tremendous longing. Everybody's looking for a way of life that is natural and filled with harmony. And this is expressed in many, many, many different ways. To live a life, natural, harmonious, and so on. Move on. Ki lo kol b'nei hador mechapsim ach sheker b'shalva. It's understood that not everybody is looking for this tranquility. V'chi bakoshes hasheket mechapeli itim al adishus. Obviously, this search for sheket can oftentimes cover and conceal apathy. Adishut means apathy. In other words, not because the person is trying to really come to terms with who he is and to find expression for the kaychus and nefesh that he has, but just it's also an escape for people face the uncertainties of living in very, very complicated times. So it could be just apathy. Choser amal ruchani v'nivul musari. Could be that there are some people there are many people in the generation that they simply don't want to work hard spiritually, and there's a certain ethical numbness, a paralysis that people feel. Ulam etzem hatviyah hatarbutis l'sheket. However, so of course you have many people like that, but the etzem hatviyah hatarbutis l'sheket. But this demand that's widespread for sheket, for this tranquility. Shebaomka oimed somali izum ishiusi, which we understand. Baomka, the depths, is just a thirst to find this inner self, this balance within oneself, this peace within oneself. Mishakefes echus chayim nosefes shamur li chosef tarchteres hayisrael. Again, I'm paraphrasing because it's just to explain each of the words, it takes time consuming. All of this helps us to understand why is it that there's more of a need, more of a longing to penetrate to the depths of what we've been learning in the Eretz HaTorah is Teres Eretz Yisrael. Teres Eretz Yisrael. Pnimis HaTorah. Pnimis HaTorah. It's through that study of Pnimis HaTorah, through the learning of Pnimis HaTorah, one comes to understand the Kaychas HaNefesh. To understand the Kaychas HaNefesh, who I am and what I am and so on. And what my kaychas are, and what's the meaning of the tefillin that I'm? It's not a script. What is the tefillin? What does the tefillin do for me? How does the tefillin affect me? Not that it's some outside thing to put the straps in the boxes. What is the tefillin? What is this? If Pnimius is the beginning, the revelation of Pnimius, of course, is the beginning of Teres Mashiach and Teres Eretz Yisrael. It's all the same thing. B'siyum ha'piskum lamdeinu Rav Kook ki ador yiske lilmoid mishnu chanizu davka. Rav Kook teaches us at the end of this paragraph that the generation is going to learn this new way. Davka ayidei osu ha'koch atzmo. We're going to use the same method, and it was the same way, the same koach that brought us into this matzav, this of destruction, of devastation. We're going to use that very same method to reach out to the generation to bring them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring them back to us. Kimal HaKoach HaPol Eskola Shemim HaNimotzim Bikirbo, Shibiglolam Nachal Kokach Sovdam Imlo Hasifus. And here's where Rav Kook said, and what is it that caused all of this upheaval? Sifrut, literature. See, here's where we have to understand what Rav Kook means by literature. Because the present, when we, as I mentioned to Easter, the time that we're in now, literature, most of the kids now are illiterate. I don't mean literally illiterate. But it's a spell check. Everything is a spell check, and not reading books and so on. For the most part, there doesn't seem to be much of an interest in poetry and literature and so on. The interest is mostly in the self, and whatever makes the self feel good at this second, and that's usually to be found on one of the pieces of technology that are around. And that's all that seems to be on the minds of most young people nowadays, and an increasing amount of old people, also of older people who just want to have some excitement or something that interests them at that moment, and not serious study of literature, of anything that's intellectually stimulating and so on. So Davka Sifrut, he explains. Davka Sifrut. Now, because the way we have to understand what Rav Kook meant in this maimer, and in general when he writes the word Sifrut, Sifrus, what does he mean by that? It doesn't mean just Bialik or Agnon. It doesn't mean just literature. Hakli Amerikazisha Darko Chodru Hazravim HaTarbutim Hazarim. Now that's the way, certainly in Rav Kook's time, that the Western culture was able to creep into the hearts and souls of the generation, that they were able to penetrate. Chodru Hazrom HaTarbutim Hazarim Shashin was Pnei Achera Yehudis, that transformed the whole Jewish society. We have to use that very same koch of Sifrus. He zusha teshamish osanu b'hafotzas harayonos ha'elyonim halolu, to bring forth the deeper teachings of Torah, the deeper ideas of Torah, to show the beauty, the depth, the relevance of Yiddishkeit to the generation. The kevan shesifrus poelus, turn the page over. Since kevan shesifrus poelus alav kol kach harbe, so Rav Kook says, since we see the unbelievable effects of literature, of Sifrut, move on Shirak Bakoach Hamachashogi Shibikir Bihipoilas. It's clear, it's understood, that what is it that's so powerful about the Sifrut? What's so powerful is that inner garin, that seed that appeals to the minds, to the intellects of the generation. Bakoach Hamachashogi Shibikir Bihipoilas. Koach Hamachashogi. That's what Rav Kook wrote. So he explains over here, Bedoros HaKodrim Huna HaHamoin Aydei Tziut Iver. In the early generations, the multitudes of Jews were just blindly obedient to the traditions. Ne'umim Rakshaniyim, and there were strong droshes. You know, Magidim would get up and scream and fire and brimstone and yelling and so on. Mechayetz Avelu. Bederes Achronim, however, in the later generations, Lumazais, Mishameshes HaSifrus, as opposed to blind obedience and being held sway under the spell of powerful, scary Magidim, Lumazais, Mishameshes HaSifrus, Ke'orot HaMerkazi Shedarko Mechalcheles HaShpot HaGuzis. Literature has become the primary way that hashpah is transmitted, is conveyed, not through it's not taking place through blind obedience or through the magidim and so on. Zohi raya nosefus lekoach hamachshava hamekanein betarbus. These last generations are unwilling to just follow everything in a blind way. Just, you know, put your finger on the Gemara and be quiet and just do what you're told, or to be beaten up by Dashanim and Rabbanim and Magidim. That there's a tremendous resistance to that. In general, culture has become more educated. Civilization, society has become more educated and doesn't go for that anymore. It's not willing to just put the finger on the Gemara and keep their mouth closed and just do, just, they're not willing to do that. Afal pisha nikbas besoicha gamlag harbe udvar mechamim malhivim levad. Even though it's true, Rav Kook says, "Lamos shali itim l'tzuy besifrus." Even though in literature itself, there's a lot of demagogia, hamafila is haregish, that works upon the emotions. L'lo tochen seichel sichli mamashi. Of course, in literature and poetry, especially in fiction, there's a tremendous amount of tampering that takes place with emotions. Avo mikol makomim lahayil abasis machashavi. However, Rav Kook wrote that if there wouldn't be an intellectual basis, it wouldn't be able to win over so many hearts. Just a matter of pure emotion. Laharis, to destroy Levaleya Baofen Systemati, to destroy and to swallow everything up in such a powerful systematic way. Etzam Hovdasham is Gerzat Tiboris Mushpas Men Hamet Todo, the method of Sifut is Gambia Menu. Doesn't necessarily mean, he explains, Rav Kook doesn't necessarily mean that it's poetry and literature, Davka. But the method, there's a certain method of, a method that replaced the old method, the didactic old method of just compliance, of obedience. That's finished. Say their order, compliance, obedience, ritual repeating, and so on. All of that has been replaced. In Rav Kook's time, it was manifested more in the tremendous interest in literature. But it's the method. Mushpas min ha-metoda, the method ha-sikrut is gam b'yameinu. Mi'ida al-merkiziyuso shel koach ha-machshava b'tarbus ha-achshavas proves that even now, under everything there is this different way of thinking. And there's a longing to understand. A tremendous need to understand. Akan k'siva svarim bali teichen tarani musari machshavti erki amitz mahasi v'harmoni hameturgam l'sfas ador. Therefore, all Rav Kook was begging for, and we learned in our satar, was to write, to bring out svarim that would be filled with concepts, the beautiful, sophisticated concepts of Torah that would be explained in the language of the generation, in the language that the generation would be able to appreciate, would be able to understand. That language could also be film, could be movies. So you see now they're using this thing, Hidabrut. I'm sure you heard about this Hidabrut. It's an unbelievable, that they already, a number of Rosh Hashivas and the Belz Rebbe is very, very big on this. I think in Belz they're not much behind most of this that's going on, which is a remarkable thing. It's not, we don't usually associate Belz with modernism. But it happens that the present Belz Rebbe is a very forward-thinking person. And the use of media, the use of movies, of film, of the computer and so on. This is the language that the generation is speaking, the language that the generation understands. And we have to be able to present Yiddishkeit in the language of the generation. The Sharish again is machshavti, is what Rav Kook is saying, is to understand. To understand means to be able to relate to what I'm learning, to be able to feel the relevance of what's being taught to me, to see the inner beauty of what the Torah is saying, so that I'll realize that it's not somebody else's script, it's speaking to me. This is who I am. If we would understand what tefillin are, we wouldn't feel that the tefillin is something distant and foreign, something that I have no connection to. We would feel thrilled with the tefillin. We would feel that way about Shabbos. We'd feel the excitement of Shabbos. We feel a tremendous, tremendous longing to keep Shabbos. Yeah.
Is it possible that Rav Kook is saying that in addition to the use of the intellect in whatever form the generation is in, that he's also saying that any real Yeshua has to come through his Tapa, like we learned, in other words, has to be Dafka, that thing that caused the problem, like the Tabas of Ahasuerus, has to be adopted.
100%. All of this is, the source of all this is exactly in that. Is Hapka Chashuchel in Ahira. Not Iskafia. This generation, Iskafia, meaning forcing, fighting, is not working. We've already come to the end of time. The end of time is what's found at the very beginning of the Zohar, means to transform the darkness into light, to take the very same kaiches and to use them to reveal the light of Torah. Traditionally throughout history the method was iskafia. Iskafia means to suppress, to fight. For whatever reason, again, that's not important for now. We talk about that a lot. While before Mashiach came down, this inyan of ahava and of chesed and of so on. That the generation, these last few generations, have lost their will to fight. They've lost their will to fight. And that's contributed a lot to the tzaros that we have in Eretz Yisrael, what's going on. But this hapcha chashuch l'mahar, which Shimi is raising this point, is exactly where Rav Kook is coming from. Which is the site of Pnimius HaTorah, which is what all Pnimius HaTorah is about. Those who are not connected to Pnimius HaTorah, they're still screaming, everything against and also and fighting. They're still using the same old stuff. more and more the kids are saying, enough. We're not doing that. We're tired. We can't. No, we're not. We can't. Rav Kook is speaking the language of Ishapcha Chashuch L'Nahar, of transforming the darkness into light, which the Zohar says. And Hashem's eyes, that's the biggest Nachas Ruach. The biggest Nachas Ruach is not to hide the thing and push it away. The biggest is to be able to repair, to fix, to bring out. Zidon is Nasma, Kizochi is Tshuv Me'ahava. Everything else about Ahava. Tshuv Me'ahava means that the sins are transformed into a mitzvah. That's the time that we're living in now. Tshuv Me'ahava, Tshuv Me'ahava. Everything is Me'ahava. And in the world of Ahava, Zidon is Nasma, Kizochi is. The Aveiros are transformed into mitzvahs. The things that were destroying us become the very same things that save us. And therefore, Yeshua has to come in such a way of communicating to the generation, to whatever means the generation has been influenced by and affected by, in general, by general culture. We have to use this as a way to ishapcha chashuch l'nahara. You know. And it's hard to admit that, but that's. And that's why I admire when I see someone like the Belz Rebbe's Abel Zinzain, somebody like that, who was certainly not raised with that way of thinking, but he was in his learning, and you see this when things are terrible, but to actually apply that, I mean, of course, Lubavitch Rebbe was doing that 1,000 years ago. Lubavitch Rebbe was, Lubavitch Rebbe of Cook, 100 years ahead. Rebbe Nachman, everything he said was about this. Everything that he said was about Rebbe Nachman. Everything you said. So when it came to the use of technology, for instance, when I was a bocher and I was learning yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael when I was in 12th grade, we had the tochnit, at that time tochnit gimel, we went to Eretz Yisrael. I would go from time to time to the Chabad, to a shikur Chabad, to the yeshiva, to Tais Emes, and there'd be a live couple and we'd listen to Fabranians. They didn't have movies, they didn't have a film of it, but we would listen to Fabranians. Who else was doing such a thing? In those years, simultaneous translation. You know, those you don't remember that on WEVD on the radio. My father, Zolder Zinzain, would listen all the time to the Rebbe's Fabranians in Yiddish, and I would listen to them and have a translation. Nobody else was doing that. The Lubavitch Rebbe was so far ahead, and of course he was criticized. No, everybody's just imitating. Everybody's imitating. It's always, you always see that the ones who are criticized within a few years they're always being imitated.
That's just. Still have the room at 770. I was just there a few weeks ago with like 50 phones, you know, that they would transmit out like from 40 years ago.
They kept it.
The Rebbe out to the whole
world. Yeah, yeah.
To the whole world.
Now everything that the Rebbe was doing 50 years ago, 60 years ago, now everybody's imitating that. Everybody's imitating. That's how it is. You have to reach the generation. You have to. I know myself that it's something that I have a hard time coming to terms with, and I'm holding out with any email stuff, and I don't because I don't see that as a way of teaching. That's something else, but as a way of teaching, I understand that not just understand, I appreciate that there are people that are able to use this in order to reach the kids, to get to not just the kids, to get to the adults, and we're going to be seeing much more of that in Mr. Shem, but. This is what's come down from Shemayim, and it's all coming back to what Kook is saying, and it's 100% relevant with all that he's teaching in this Maimon. So, Mitzvah, next day of Shabbos, we'll move on in the Maimon.